Snack Bar Games Podcast. Welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 242, guys. I'm Graham.
Sorry about that. Just want to point that out.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We're off to a good start.
Yeah. I am Graham.
It's not like we have a format or anything.
Oh, gosh. And this week, I am here with, as you already know, Sean, Andrew, Henry, and Chris. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Graham. How's it going?
Graham, you always ask us how we're doing.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I am at my wit's end.
Oh no.
He's stuck in a virtual room with us. How do you think he's doing?
Yeah. I am stuck under the weight of many, many light blue game cases. Still digging my way out.
That's taking some getting used to, isn't it?
To be fair.
Yeah.
They're lighter than other game cases because of the stupid eco cases. Just a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Sure.
Okay. That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm doing all right. It's a horrible, you know,
burden. Yes.
Horrible burden to have to play video games. Gosh.
Well,
guys.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I will play Transformers Prime for you. Certainly not for me.
Oh. Please don't do it on my behalf.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump in. Hey, Sean.
Yo. You guys want news?
Sure.
We got news.
I want news. I want news.
Henry wants news. Right. We're kind of, the rest of us are kind of about it. Yeah, Henry wants news. Yeah. So.
Well, I haven't been playing the Wii U, so I don't know what's going on out there in the world.
I
Sean,
have, which is why
in.
I don't know what's going on. I do know what's going on, you know, like with how people got all 3 star coins in a level of you, but that's about all the news I've got. Sean, what's going on?
Well, first off, Double Fine is doing their Amnesia Fortnite again. Only this time, people can donate money and then vote on which games they want them to actually make.
Yeah. So, do you guys remember how they did this last?
No.
Time? Oh well. They didn't do it publicly, but it was after Brutal Legend didn't do so well for them. They came together, did this, and they came out with some pretty great downloadables as a result.
Yeah.
So this is looking to be even better because pretty much most of the ideas they have are kind of awesome, and I would like to see all of them become games. But sadly, I had to vote for just a few, and it made me really sad.
Yeah, I watched the pitch videos and decided which of those I most wanted, and then I saw the vote totals, and all 4 of my picks are in like the bottom 6.
Oh,
so. Yeah. No, the games are actually kind of interesting. It's just
Graham, did you vote on sort of the game that you felt was the most interesting or for the best pitch?
I voted on the game I think will be most interesting and like enjoyable at the stage that they're actually going to be able to complete it. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is probably why they're losing. Like when people actually considered like what could we actually complete in 14 days. Then those ideas people didn't vote for because they're not big. Like, how about, it's like The Sims, but it's a whole space station and like you're running a whole space station.
That sounds awesome.
2 weeks later, you're not gonna, that's not gonna function, but it's gonna be one of the games. So enjoy that, people.
Right. So maybe go for the more realistic option despite some, lofty goals.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not the point, you know. This is basically for them to try out ideas and run with a few of them, but I'll be happy to pay for it later when it's a full product.
Me too.
The idea of opening this up for like, which of these do you want to play now as a prototype? Like, not that, probably. But yeah, I mean, it's nice that they're opening it up. It fits with their MO these days. They kind of already have the film crew there, so might as well have them film what they're doing for the next 2 weeks, because, you know, that's what they're going to be doing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I like that they're doing it.
Me too.
Any of these pitches stand out to you guys?
Ah, oh, man. I already forgot which ones I voted for. So there you go. So no.
So you're really, really getting in the spirit.
Yes.
Of Amnesia Fortnite.
I would need to check, but I'm just not going to.
You're having trouble remembering.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go.
There we go.
I feel like if I tried that joke four times, then maybe you pick up on it.
No, yes, one more time. Please.
Nah, I think I'm done.
Did you forget the joke? Hey. All right.
I like the tiny, tiny picture for autonomous.
Okay.
That's all I know about any of these, is the pictures and the names.
That, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yep. The pictures are nice, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I think the ones that will win won't be the four best ideas.
No.
There's clearly one of those things where, like, a few of the developers over at Double Fine have kind of made the internet rounds a little more than the other ones, and those guys are getting a lot of votes just because of who they are.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, they're kind of funny ideas. I'll be interested to see them.
I will play those games.
Really, I just want them to make Costume Quest 2, which isn't a thing they can do right now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the lead designer isn't there anymore.
Costume Quest, the 1,000-year door.
Does that mean we're eventually going to get Super Costume Quest and then Costume Quest Sticker Star?
No, they know better.
Okay. That would be Costume Quest Candy Star.
Candy, okay, sure.
Mm. Okay.
Well, no, or Sticker Candy.
Candy Stickers?
Candy Stickers, yes.
Sticky Star? I don't know. Nah, let's move on, Sean. What else?
All right. Next up, we have Peter Molyneux has a. Did I say that wrong?
Don't laugh.
No, you got it right.
Don't laugh at his name, Graham. Let's give him a chance.
Let's wait until I get to what his idea is. Then you can laugh.
Then we can start laughing at it.
Okay.
He would like to reinvent Populous, so he started a Kickstarter for it, and he's calling it Goddess.
And then he immediately gave an interview where he said it was going to fail and it's his fault.
Didn't hear that part, but that sounds like him.
Yep.
Immediately. It's like, what? How is it? So, yeah.
Potter Molyneux, he belongs in the video game industry. Did
you say Potter Molyneux? I just want to make sure. We all heard that, right?
Yeah,
I heard it.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Go on. Sorry.
I was saying Peter, I'll just say Peter M, because I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong. I know he belongs in the video game industry somewhere. I just don't know where it is. He's just an enigma to me.
He's where he needs to be right now, heading up a team of weird people making an iOS game where you just tap a whole bunch.
Has anyone here played that?
I didn't know.
I had trouble connecting to the server, but yeah, you just connect and then you tap a whole bunch and then that's it. That's the game.
Game of the year?
It is a game of the year.
it has come out in a calendar year.
But is it really a game?
We could get into that discussion with a lot of things.
Okay, no, it's air quotes game of the year. We'll discuss that next month.
Yeah, because then you get into, like, Journey.
No, oh, you mean good games.
I put that in game. I put that regular
I do
game.
Too, but I think I'd also put it in game with quotes around it. Like, it also qualifies there.
All right, so then I guess Curiosity's just screwed then.
Graham, you'd put Journey in quotation marks as a game?
I think it qualifies as both.
Interesting.
I think it qualifies as a game and then as a, quote, game.
I know that the demographic playing iOS games is growing and growing, and there's some really good games out there. I still cannot get excited for any kind of iOS game. I know that's bad of me. I should be more open-minded.
I think you need to find the right ones. I agree that most of it's the worst thing.
yes,
but
like most it's just like I'm going to play it in line at the grocery store for 14 seconds.
Yes,
and that's it. And I don't see how I can get any kind of engaging experience from that.
Have you played Rayman Jungle Run?
I have not.
It's pretty solid.
That's like the one iOS game I want to play. Because
I want to play Middle Manager of Justice.
It's Rayman, but you just don't... It's basically Rayman without a control stick. Like, Rayman runs to the right, but you control the timing of the like jumps and wall jumps and punches and like floats and things. Like it generally holding right, you just kind of do
in
the game. And so like as long as they design the levels where it's not important to stop, then like it's really, I mean, like it's interesting how fun it is. I mean, it's a lot like those like running levels in Rayman Origins where it's just like if you stop running, you'll lose, so you just don't. So yeah. They design levels like that where it's like about specific timing of jumps and stuff. It's interesting.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and it looks great.
As Rayman Origins did, and as Rayman Legends does, Rayman is awesome.
Everything's coming up Rayman lately.
Yes.
Everything's coming up Rayman.
Yeah,
I'm on board with that. All right. Sure. Peter Molyneux is a crazy person. What's some more news?
Eurocom has decided to go mobile and has fired 75% of their staff.
I feel like part of that decision was made for them because I'm guessing 007 Legends didn't sell well at all.
It did not. And they say that the reason they're changing their shift is because there's been a steep decline in demand for console games.
There's been a steep decline in demand for bad soul games.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I know they're using mobile as an excuse, but I don't. There's no evidence to support that. Same with PC gaming. PC gaming's been going dead for 15 years.
You know what? To be fair, there has been
only 15.
There's been a sharp rise in demand for bad mobile games. So yes. They got to go where they're wanted.
They figured out where the people are buying bad games, and they're going there.
Yeah. Poor people. Well, how many people did they fire?
They fired 150 people.
Yeah, a lot.
Jeez, poor people.
Yeah, and I think it's really sad because the last Bond game they made was new GoldenEye game, and that was actually really good.
So, I heard it was really good.
Yeah, the Wii version and the console, the 360 PS3 versions.
I mean,
yeah,
007
they also did
Legends.
007 Legends and Harry Potter for Kinect and Disney.
Oh, they did Harry Potter for Kinect?
And Rio, yes.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Why?
We can't count Rio, because that's a licensed title, although I guess Bond is too, but yeah, it's kind
of... A solid Bond title in the past few years?
Everything or Nothing?
I was going to say Bloodstone.
I think Bloodstone was pretty good too, yeah.
Yeah.
And has some good driving segments based on a movie. That game.
Yeah. But I mean, I think honestly, I think game sales in general have gone down. Just so, I mean, that comment has its like slight merit. But again, it's also just our bad game didn't sell well. Yeah. We blame all people for not buying console games. That's basically what it comes across as.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, look, I hate when people lose their jobs. I don't want them to. Eurocom, not like this gem of the industry that I'm going to mourn for very long.
It seems like a bad omen for the industry, though. It seems like this happens a lot lately, and maybe it happened before, but with games getting more and more expensive, it seems like studios now can't absorb any bad game. You can have a successful series, maybe of two or three games over the last 5 years, and if you make one bad game that doesn't sell well, that's it. Pack it up. We're done as a studio, or we're going to get bought out, and a bunch of people are going to get fired. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think there's some definite merit to that, but I think it's because generally every developer seems to be swinging for the fences.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a question of anticipation. What's the actual word I'm looking for here? Expectations.
Yeah, I mean, for example, and I don't know if you remember this game called Rayman Origins.
Hey,
wait a bit.
But yeah, so I don't know if you guys remember. I mean, basically, when it came out, sales were not very good. You know, the price dropped super fast. Like it's kind of like what you expect out of a game that doesn't do very well. But then Ubisoft put out things like, no, this is profitable. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, they made this framework and then made this 2D game. You know, they didn't pay out the nose for any sort of like ridiculous graphical assets or anything. And the problem is everybody's trying to be Call of Duty. And that type of game requires a lot of, technical work.
Everyone except Rayman. Rayman's still cool. Although I would play a Rayman called, it's Rayman styled Call of Duty game. I don't know what that would be, but I would play it.
It would be like Rayman Arena.
If not. Forget I said anything, please.
There we go.
How about Rayman Karting?
Rayman what?
Karts.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
This is like the next logical step.
Going back to Rayman Arena, which I don't want to, they did a mini game in there that was a racing game, but it was all on foot and it was but there was there's no actual.
Did someone just get shot?
No, it was me. I'm sorry. Racing game on foot.
Yeah,
me the right way.
Yeah. Yep. No, there's been no actual Rayman kart game.
Hmm.
Do we need one? I don't.
No, we don't need one, but I'd be okay with it.
That's okay. We didn't need little big karting either, and we got that. Right?
Yeah.
That was a game.
That's the same line of thought as PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, isn't it? It's like something that was needed, but hey, we don't have this for our system, so.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
In terms of something else we didn't necessarily need, we have Uncharted,
nice segue.
Which is a card game.
Yeah.
For the Vita for $5.
It is being billed as a standalone expansion.
Yes.
Because you can like collect and unlock cards when you play Golden Abyss now.
Oh boy.
But you don't have to have it.
Hey, look.
I'm shocked that the Vita isn't doing better against the 3DS with games like that.
Well, hey, look.
Hey, I want this.
Right as they give everyone Golden Abyss and PlayStation Plus and then say, hey, there's this $5 card game, like it doesn't really make much sense for people who, you know, if you really like Uncharted, then you probably don't care too much about a card game, but if there are all these people who just got that for free, maybe some of those people like card games, like me.
I like card games too.
Oh, okay.
I would way prefer Uncharted as a turn-based non-microtransaction card game.
Oh man.
Than as a thing where I have to hit the button at the right time.
You still have to hit the button, but you have plenty of time to do it.
Yeah, that's yes.
I'm never a fan of action reflex games on handhelds anyway, so that sounds like a good idea.
So what you're saying, Graham, is every game should be turn-based.
Not every game, but...
Most games should be
turn-based. Turn-based FPS would be the worst thing ever.
Well, have you played Valkyria Chronicles?
Have you played Full Spectrum Warrior? That was pretty good. Although that was third person. So was Valkyria Chronicles. Yep.
Well, when you're not... Well, no, yeah, I guess it is third person when you're aiming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. It's kind of a turn-based FPS. That's it's the closest that we have to that, and it's pretty good.
That's why we haven't got it.
Well, we got two of them. Anyway.
One of them was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, that series also has a card game, but it's microtransaction based free to play gree.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, that's the good thing about Fight for Fortune is it's not that. I think there's probably going to be some like buy packs thing. In fact, I guarantee that there is, because I remember seeing that they're packs based on Uncharted 2 and 3, where you just like buy expansions. But you can just play the game without it. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the worst thing in the world. They're releasing it in December as a download only for, what,
$5? $5.
So, I mean, it's hard to get mad at that. They're not trying to put it out as like a $40 retail thing.
It's like their
holiday showpiece. Though they didn't.
Well, what's hilarious to me was the comments all calling it a cash grab. I'm like, it's $5. It's not a very good cash grab.
Yeah.
No.
And it's on the Vita, so it's not going to grab much cash at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're releasing something on the Vita. It's not. It's just by definition not a cash grab.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the new Call of Duty on the Vita.
That was definitely a cash grab.
That game.
Yeah. That game.
Okay. So let's not even ever talk about that ever. So Sean, you got more news?
No. Nothing else happened.
The news is gone.
The news went away.
It was a holiday week.
Everyone took a break for 4 days from doing anything.
Well, actually, no, there is the...
Except for Graham with all his blue cases.
Just to mention it, there is that XSEED story about the last story selling really well for them.
Yeah. Yes. Isn't that, like, the best thing?
That is the best thing. Yes. I think we've
that had... is great news.
Yes. I love it.
You shouldn't read too much into this, I think, because when you think about the other things that XSEED has released...
You want to talk about a company that knows how to gauge its expectations.
Yeah. I would imagine that one mention that The Last Story got on the one Nintendo Direct video was probably worth more than XSEED's entire marketing budget for the past 5 years.
Yeah, probably.
So that said, I hope that this sort of thing that becomes this phenomenal success for XSEED, and probably those exact numbers would have been a big failure for Nintendo.
Probably. Which, on a related note, do we know how Xenoblade Chronicles did?
We do not. Nintendo is notoriously tight-lipped about these things. And since, you know, they only sold it through GameStop and their website, it's really, really hard to tell. My guess would be that it didn't sell as well as The Last Story, simply because it was only available in one store.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Which is a shame, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the better of the two, but...
We can talk about that in a few weeks.
Yes, that is a couple of
weeks. All right.
But yeah, so I just really hope that it's the start of something that
like Trails
they will.
In the Sky 2.
No, probably not that.
Come on.
Yeah, that's not happening.
It needs
that,
to start.
Look, that may happen if XSEED manages to have like a healthy bottom line. Then that's a better chance for them to do stuff like that. But I just hope it's a good start for a relationship between them and Nintendo, where they can maybe pick up some things here and there.
We otherwise would never have ever seen.
Yeah. There are definitely some 3DS games that they could take a look at.
Yeah. You think you guys got niche titles? Give them to XSEED and they'll publish them.
Yeah.
Let us have them.
And they will jump at the chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, like, that game's $30 now, so you can just buy it.
Yep.
Seems pretty
excellent.
Good.
I saw that game in Best Buy the other day, and it's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was there at launch.
I would expect to see that there.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing, like, that game was in stores.
Yeah.
It turns out that helps with selling it.
Yeah, hopefully that works.
I mean, especially, like, considering the things that Nintendo has done before, even with games that it wanted to publish. Like, for example, when it released Chibi-Robo Park Patrol, the Chibi-Robo DS sequel that is about being good for the environment and then only released it at Walmart.
Yeah.
Probably and better to let somebody else publish that.
Yeah.
They also didn't send out many copies of Fire Emblem on the Wii.
I still need to get that, and it's still kind of pricey, so.
Yeah.
Yes, I haven't found one either.
Is it gonna be enough to get more Japanese RPGs that we don't get over here? Are they going to look at that and
say,
maybe there's a market here? I hope so, too.
Me too.
I mean, it's so frustrating to hear that, like, well, it's, you know, I don't know why we would release it over in North America where, you know, there's hundreds of millions of people that have money in, like, entertainment. they always seem like it's, I don't know about North America. Like, we're not a tiny, you know, some tiny unknown market. It just bugs me. And Xenoblade sold more copies over here than it did anywhere else, and they were thinking about not even releasing it over here. So it's frustrating, you know, obviously, because we all like, I think I can speak for all of us when we say we're big RPG fans. Hopefully this is a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, going back to what Chris said, I think some publishers just need to lower their expectations.
Or just hand it off to a publisher that already has lowered expectations.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
Just quickly, I want to say I really hope Ni No Kuni does well here, because, man.
Yes, I'm very excited about that game. I want to help him pre-order.
Oh, yeah, the 3D, is it the DS version that isn't coming out here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The PS3 version. Is there a collector's edition? Are you guys going to get that?
I pre-ordered the Wizards edition. I pre-ordered.
Yeah, you get a stuffed toy and a map and all that. I'm going to get that for sure.
Yeah. A book? Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if the 3DS version came out over here, but the graphics on that need to be on a HDTV.
Oh, it looks so good.
So
have you heard any early reviews about it being playing well and stuff like that? I haven't seen too much.
I haven't seen anything on it.
Well, I played it at New York Comic Con, and it seems like the overworld's a bit strange. It just kind of seems like...
So pretty.
Yeah, I mean, but basically you just kind of walk through it.
Yeah.
But the battles are kind of interesting because you have these little minions and you have like the party members and like, but it's not about choosing what everyone does. It's about choosing which one you need at this point, and you can switch them out on the fly, and it has some interesting elements. I don't know how it would hold up over multiple hours, but we will tell you when the game comes out, because that's what we do around here.
It's good.
I mean, considering it's releasing in January, right?
Yes, January 25th.
We'll probably be able to have a whole podcast about it.
Hey,
just
I'm
knowing.
To the dead
zone. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. So, speaking of that, let's go ahead and get into our list of games.
We have a big list.
All right, guys.
All of November.
The odd thing is I've played, I will have beaten after Walking Dead, which I cannot wait to finish. I'll have beaten 6 games in November, none of which are worth talking about. I need you guys to help me with all the recent cool new games, because I'm dying to hear about the Wii U. Andrew.
Whoa.
Let me hear. Actually, let's start this off with a game that's not really Wii U centric. That's a terrible lead in. But, Andrew, let us know your thoughts about Assassin's Creed 3.
Well, I mean, it's on the Wii U, and then
I know it is. I know, but it's not really like a Wii U. It's, you know, it's not like Zombie U or New Super Mario Bros. It's not, but it is on the Wii U, so it counts. Especially me explaining this just keeps making the transition worse and worse. So help me out, Andrew.
Assassin's Creed 3. You know, I like this game. I like this game a lot. A lot of people are disappointed with it, and I kind of am scratching my head and wondering what I don't understand, because I feel like I played a completely different game than some people, because I absolutely love this game. Well, first of all, it has a slow start. Let's get that out of the way. It has a bit of a slow start. Yeah. Chris, as someone who's still playing the very beginning of the game, you can speak to that especially. But I kind of liked it, because I felt near the end of the game, a lot of this pays off, I think. I will say that, because it does a lot in the beginning, and it teaches you a lot, and it continues to teach you a lot, probably for another, I'd say, few hours. So get ready for that. But once it's done, once the world opens up, then it gets fantastic. There's almost too much to do.
I'm wondering if part of my problem is not having the experience of the first two for like knowing the tricks of like eavesdropping stuff.
Generally the eavesdropping missions are just bad. Okay.
Well, that's fair.
There you go. So there's that. So yeah, but there are only maybe two more after all the ones you get in the beginning. For some reason, they put like 3 or 4 of those in the beginning, and then just like maybe one more at the end. It's very random. I don't know. I guess I just thought, hey, we're just gonna do all the bad missions in the beginning, get those out of the way.
All right. So you're giving me hope then, at least. Once I'm with Hamish.
The missions definitely get more varied. Once the game opens up, you get a lot of different things to do, almost too many things to do, which is why I probably ignored half of it.
Yeah, I right away collect my almanac letters. Do it yourself, Franklin. I can't be running around Boston without 1,000 redcoats getting mad at me. So I'm just gonna go from point to point.
If you're a completionist, this game will drive you insane.
Yeah, that's not happening.
But I will recommend one thing. Play the naval missions. Those are incredible.
That's what I hear. You tweet more about naval missions in Assassin's Creed 3 than anything else. I would not even think about skipping those naval missions.
I did every one of them, except there were some that involved searching for treasure, which I didn't get too involved with. I don't
know. Flashback.
What's that?
Oh God, Wind Waker flashback.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know how they work, because I never.
Oh God, worst part of Wind Waker flashback. Generally, flashback to Wind Waker is a good thing, but not that specific case.
Yeah, you know, I kind of did write an entire column about sailing somehow. So AC3 kind of is the thing that inspired that, because I would play an entire game or maybe just more DLC based on the sailing stuff. It's fantastic, and I think the thing about it is it just makes you like you're in command of this giant ship, and it just. It's kind of basic, but it just makes you feel so powerful when you yell at your crew to fire the cannons, and they fire the cannons, and the ship explodes. You just feel awesome.
One of the best parts of Skies of Arcadia.
Yeah, man, Skies of Arcadia too. I should have. Well, that's not seas. That's in the sky.
Say there is one side questy little side mission thing of AC3 that is catching my interest, and that's The little abstract strategy games that they got littered around the various inns and stuff.
Oh yeah, those are cool. I didn't get into those too much, mostly because I was very bad at them. But I can imagine those being something you're interested in.
That's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, have you? I never won a single one of those. So
I won the one in the boat. I won one of the ones in the Green Dragon. Then Six Men's Morse kicked my ass for a long time before I figured out the rules of that.
That one was the one that made me go, yeah.
And then I saw the other end of the hotel had 12 men's more, so I'm like, yeah, no. And then like, 9 men's in the middle of the place I just got to, and it's like, yeah, serve me something different. But the one on the boat was nice, and once I got the hang of how the rules to the Morris games completely changed at the end game.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I like when games do that. I like when games have these little things. Just
come here. Why did he jump across the table all of a sudden? That's
Andrew and Chris, as a non-stealth guy, I'm not really into stealth. Would I enjoy an Assassin's Creed game, in particular 3?
I would say yes. I mean, I think there are definitely missions that require stealth, and if you get caught, you get sent back to the checkpoint. The checkpoints are forgiving, and
they're not.
I think they are. Are they?
I just did the one where I disabled a couple cannons along the way and took me the longest time.
Yeah.
Just starting back at the beginning of that every time.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I'm not a fan of stealth games. I'm not a fan of bad stealth mechanics.
Okay.
So, I mean, for Batman, the Batman games, like Arkham Asylum, I thought that was a good mix of stealth and sort of forgiveness. I just hate the idea of if you get caught, and it's very difficult to see sometimes what the computer sees, you get sent back all the way to the beginning.
I'm having some mixed reactions to the stuff.
Like I said,
that I've done so
those are the eavesdropping missions mostly, and those are.
And no, it's still like when I that same disable the cannon when you're in the high alert notoriety. If they see you, they raise the alarm thing.
That's all the same mission though. That's all the same. It's mostly like eavesdropping stuff in that mission.
Right, yeah. But I'm having difficulty with a lot of times the guy won't stay hidden. Like they get red triangled and coming after me, and like I dive in the haystack, and he doesn't stay in it.
Yeah, because if they see you dive in there, that means you're not really hidden. Like I said, that stuff that is not as bad once you get more into the later stuff. Trust me.
There does seem to be a little bit of forgiveness when they do like they reach spotted mode, they red triangle you, and if you're quick enough, you can usually silence them.
Yeah, yeah.
But as long as you're not whipping out your sword to do it.
I would say,
you're unarmed, probably, but if you're using any kind of blade, they're going to see you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say...
You had to free the captives, I guess, was the mission before that.
Yeah, I think there's maybe one more of those like that, too.
Took me a while to figure out what I needed to do to get through that, just piece by piece by piece by piece and constantly restarting.
That's why I think the beginning of that game turns a lot of people off, but stick with it.
Since it's not the character that is in all of the commercials and promos for it. Yeah. It's like, who is this British guy?
I think the fact that they kept that, even though, well, I guess at this point you might already know about this, but the fact that they kept that a secret I thought was really cool because everyone went in expecting, you know, pretty much Connor from the beginning.
Right.
I do want to say to you, Henry, I think start with Assassin's Creed 2. That game is a bit more forgiving, especially in the open areas. And by that point, like I can't speak for Chris on this, but by that point, there isn't like a ton of story you need to catch up on. I was just gonna ask you, Chris, how do you feel about the story stuff? Just jumping into AC3.
I do feel like I've literally walked in the third act of a play without knowing anything coming before. I mean, I know bits and pieces of how these. Like, I wasn't surprised to find out like the virtual reality animus thing or anything. I knew about that. I'm sure. Was that like a big surprise in the first AC3, with the first Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, that was something they kept secret until
That was X numbers of years ago, and I've just absorbed that via the video game pop culture osmosis.
I think it's good for you because in terms of the, like, you're not jumping into like an Ezio story, so it's not like
it is a completely new character.
But it's mostly the Desmond stuff, like the present day stuff. That's kind of
they give you a nice recap at the front. I'm not sure if that was in the same as. In the other high def version. I can't remember that we use a high def console now.
So sweet to say, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't have an HDTV yet, but we're changing that next weekend.
Oh, that's disgusting, Chris.
27 inch television still works.
Oh, Chris.
But it is a pain on the screen, I'm telling you.
No wonder you hate the stealth mechanics. You can't even see what's going on.
The only time I've had a problem with it, and I did have one problem, is the very first time they teach you how to aim. In AC3, like they blow up a bunch of explosives.
Yeah.
I could not see the crosshairs on the screen. It's white on like the mostly white. I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? And eventually I look it up and say, crosshairs.
If AC3 is the first game
on that screen?
If AC3 is the first game you play in HD, you're gonna be blown away. Cause that game looks pretty incredible.
It looks pretty, pretty, very pretty. And also,
I'm a fan of the setting. They don't do very many games in the colonial American Revolution. I mean, that's a great setting.
Yeah.
And I did want to mention
they tried doing Call of Duty back then. It didn't work very well.
Something you guys mentioned in the special podcast you guys did last week, that the screen and the gamepad showing the same thing. It does look very pretty, the little tiny movies like on the screen, but you can disable the display on the gamepad. When I've been doing that for AC3, because I don't need in stereo seeing the same cutscene twice.
Yeah, I can understand that.
The map they have there, I looked at it a little bit, but it's not really worth the effort to have.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the stuff that like I played the Batman on Wii U, and it's basically just the same thing. There's basically the map on the screen. It's neat. I think it's kind of cool, but.
But you need the touchpad for that though for a certain.
Oh yeah.
That's not like I've been using the controller pro.
Yeah.
For AC3, and with the exception of trying to figure out where my hand should be because they moved the stupid thumbstick to the top where it never has been before. That's been working really well.
So I mean, I would just say stick with it. It gets better.
It will be. I haven't played a game this frustrating because I haven't had a lot of the mainstream releases come to me.
Yeah.
So I'm a little out of practice.
All right. Well, that's great. Thanks, guys. Let's move on. Speaking of shooters and Sean. Sean, you've been playing a shooter. Sean mentioned something earlier.
I'm not a shooter.
Spoiler, Sean,
I'm not a shooter.
Your nickname is not Shooter Sean. You are not a shooter, but Sean, you've been playing a shooter.
Now his name is Shooter Sean.
Sean, if we were in the same room, this is when I would start poking you.
Why would you want to poke me? I have a gun.
I'm encouraging you to voice your opinion that you have been playing a particularly high-profile shooter that I'm very interested in hearing your thoughts about.
Is Halo 4 really that high-profile? I thought
Halo
it was
Halo 4, game. Yay!
Yeah,
Halo 4,
I understand it, it's the largest entertainment launch. As long as we define entertainment launch in like a very specific, not very worthwhile way.
Wasn't it only that for a week?
Yeah, it was actually they announced that 2 days before Black Ops 2 released, so that was they had 2 good days right there.
Yeah, no, but I mean, by how they define it, I believe they still have it because
single system,
yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited
and
to
dollar
to
value.
Play it for sure.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Sorry, Graham, go ahead.
No, so, yeah, Sean, are you going to tell us about this game?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Halo 4, the Master Chief is still alive.
The Master Chief.
I don't believe you.
If none of you heard that before, sorry. He's alive. He's not dead.
I didn't know
he was sick.
He's been floating in space for a couple years.
4 years, actually.
What?
He's been in a hibernation for 4 years. And now he is crash landing on a Forerunner planet. And he
are
has
those
to,
the guys that built the Halos?
They are the ones that built the Halos.
Ooh, very cool.
And he has to fight off their automated electro-organic
whatever, things you shoot.
Yes.
Things, yeah. Big things that you shoot that disappear when you kill them.
Yep, great.
Sean, how now have you beat it? Have you beat the campaign?
No, I'm not very good.
Not very good. Okay, well then. Boy, I'm glad I brought that up.
I feel like I'm going to be talking about most of the games we were talking about today, but I just want to mention, just real quick, I have finished the campaign. It stays pretty consistent throughout, so.
I got a Metroid vibe when I watched the first trailer. Is it like that? Like a Prime?
Master Chief's a girl.
Yeah.
Surprise.
He has a girl in his head.
It's Joan.
Yeah.
He has a girl in his head. Does that help?
Kind of.
I found that it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, that's never a good thing, I think.
Not really. I mean, the interface is slightly different than Halo, but for the most part, it's than Halo 3, but it's still pretty much the same Halo. You shoot people, you look around, you run towards objectives, and you shoot more people.
You can sprint now.
Yes, I like sprinting. It helps me get away from the bad guys.
You're supposed to shoot them.
Yeah, shoot them.
I don't.
Deep,
they shoot me first.
Insight.
They shoot me first. I tend to find a vehicle and run away.
Oh, okay. I guess
you're in a vehicle, you're not. I don't know.
It's a vehicle with legs. It's very futuristic.
I'm actually much better at killing them when I'm in a vehicle because I can run them over.
Ah.
So for you, this is a first person. This is a third person driving.
Third person rammer.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Halo.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I think the thing with this game is it basically exists to kind of prove that 343 can carry the same mantle that Bungie did, and I think they've done a great job.
Yeah. I also definitely like the Spartan Ops mode. It's a secondary campaign. It takes place from during the same sort of events, only from an alternate perspective.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a riff on the Spec Ops from the Modern Warfare games. And
it's little episodic missions. You can see.
They release a new one every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
pretty fun.
Cool.
I'm better at that than I am at the campaign.
Really? And I think those missions are kind of harder than a lot of the campaign.
Maybe. I don't know why, but I tend to die a lot less than that than I do in the campaign.
There are more vehicles. And those
that might be why. Yeah. Also, the multiplayer has been changed. They also took that off of Call of Duty, so that whenever you level up, you get access to more starting weapons.
Which I think is pretty cool. And it's still...
Halo's doing the level up thing now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing the level up thing. Before, they just used it to matchmake you. Like, if you were a higher level, then you were apparently better. So you got to play better people. Now they don't pay attention to that. Now they just use it to determine how... what kind of armor upgrades or what starting weapons you have access to.
I don't know how I feel about this. I know it's insanely popular. I know Battlefield uses it. I don't know how I feel about this whole gaming experience in multiplayer. I guess it does reward you because the more you play, the stronger you are.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. This time
I think I prefer the matchmaking.
Yeah, yeah. The matchmaking is definitely improved also. Everyone's better than me, but they're not as much better than you.
This vehicle strategy.
Sean, they're all 12 years old and amazing. That's not your problem.
Yeah,
problem.
They have a lot more free time than I do.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the thing about the upgrading here is that they don't give you access to all the weapons ever. They just give you access to three different variants of the three most popular weapons. So none of them are overpowering.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's just different flavors of different types of weapons. Like you can use the Forerunner pistol. Or Forerunner assault rifle, or you can use the Human or the Covenant one, whichever one you prefer.
Going back to they use the Call of Duty system where you get a few kills in a row, and then you get to either call down a more powerful weapon or like a different power up, which is also pretty neat because then you can get some of the more awesome weapons.
I haven't gotten those yet. I don't know why.
I wonder.
Okay.
I got one of those on a team one once. I used it for my entire team to get some more needlers.
Yay, needlers. Great.
Okay, well, so I think I'm going to call it, you guys. I think we have like 14 games to talk about.
Yeah, well, Halo's
really good.
Halo, and it's still pretty
good. Halo's great. That's fine. Yep, moving on. Next up, Andrew and maybe Graham can tell us about another shooter. Black Ops.
And
Black
can Ops. Tell you about it, and I can briefly chime in from time to time.
Sounds yeah. That's hey, any Graham is better than no Graham. Black
I don't
Ops.
Think that's true.
Part.
Wait, what?
Oh, sorry, I'm Canadian. Black Ops 2.
Oh, I thought you just sneezed or something for a second. I wasn't sure what you did.
No, no, it's the same thing with Molyneux. It's hard to pronounce that.
Okay.
Tell us about Black Ops 2.
All right. Well, to get the basics out of the way, it's still more Call of Duty. Like with Halo, still being more Halo, it's still more Call of Duty. It's you aim down the sights, you shoot things. But I think the most interesting thing about this is how they've handled the story, which is to say that they've actually integrated player agency, player choices and whatnot. And every game is doing that this year, but Call of Duty had to do it too. But
there's still like a person with follow over their head and you follow them, but it keeps track of whether you follow them. And then the story changes.
You could actually not follow. No, actually you have to follow.
No, you have to follow.
Follow is still there, but he's not there as much. I was a little sad. Sometimes I was like, where's Follow? I missed him. And then he showed
sometimes
up. And
Follow is a horse.
That's true. No, yes. I think it's the guy riding the horse.
I don't know.
Are there horses in Black Ops?
The horse.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like they'd be very secretive.
No, this is definitely not a stealth.
I have never told a secret to a horse and had the horse tell someone. They're good at keeping secrets.
I can second this.
They are wise beyond their years.
Yeah, and yeah. You could ride them in this game, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not that great, actually.
I liked it.
I don't like aiming while I'm on the horse. It's not. You can't.
You just don't like. To be fair, you just don't like aiming.
I don't.
but seriously,
I'm secure enough to admit that aiming sucks.
Yeah, it sometimes it does. Yeah, but anyway. The big thing is like so there are some choices that you'll make that are kind of obvious. Like, hey, should you kill this guy or not kill this guy? I don't know.
And then it doesn't, at least I'm only like a few hours into the campaign, but it seems like the choices aren't like menu driven. Should you kill this guy or not kill this guy? It's like, you got to stop yourself from killing this guy.
One of the major instances. You got to stop yourself from killing this guy, or you just, that is kind of connected to the first game. For spoilery reasons, I won't get into, but to not talk about specifics, there are also many, many different choices that you make without even realizing it.
Also, there's kind of, failure conditions when, you may not finish something.
Oh, yeah.
That'll
impact something later on. Like, near the end, a lot of this stuff kind of culminates, and based on, all these different decisions, all the intel you may or may not have gathered, something that happens at the end will change somewhat drastically. And to kind of go along with that, there are these Strike Force missions, which are Call of Duty's attempt to kind of branch out into more than just being another shooter. And doing that is kind of like a mini strategy game in which you have a small squad of troops and different drones and stuff that you command from an overhead menu. And, your different objectives are to defend this or to capture these points. And it's kind of like blending together a single player and multiplayer in that regard. But the problem is that the actual AI and pathfinding for that stuff is bad. So it kind of doesn't work, which is a shame because that had real potential. But if you just, so most of the time I just ended up because you can actually take control of your squad members too. Like if, let's say your team isn't doing that, like a specific team guarding a specific position is doing terribly, which chances are they will be doing terribly because they're not very good. You just take control of one of the soldiers and, you should be able to hold your own and keep your other soldiers safe.
I mean, let's be fair.
Yeah.
AI is not bad.
It is
very well crafted to act like Sean.
Yes. They mold everyone after Sean, but
I resemble that remark.
but I think actually the AI in general is okay during most of the campaign missions. It's just during the strike force missions when they're actually expected to follow direct orders, be it not just their scripting. And it's kind of the game's just like, what do I do? I've been told to follow this one thing all this time.
Yeah, but there's a lot of scripting, and especially in the campaign, which is
there usually is. It usually looks pretty impressive.
Yeah, a lot of it's happening without you being involved in it at all.
that is the Call of Duty. That is the Call of Duty way. But like the Strike Force missions, they are still fun. It's just it's a huge letdown because they could have been something special, and I think they're just kind of forgettable.
They could have been a contender,
yeah.
It could have been someone.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, great. Well, thanks thanks for your thoughts on Black Ops 2, guys. Graham, I know. Thank you, Chris.
Before we continue, I do want to mention a few things about the Wii U version.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well,
oh, okay, sure.
Tell me about the Wii U version, Graham.
It's the same game, basically, which is saying something. With a lot of the launch stuff, there has been a lot of talk about frame rate issues with the Wii U version. I have noticed them in the big crazy campaign firefights.
Yeah.
But it's not breaking. It's just those particular segments are designed to be really impressive, and they're not so impressive when they cut down to about 15 frames a second while they do it.
So it makes me wonder if, because I experienced this with Batman and with Epic Mickey 2, which I don't think is worth talking about, but they have serious frame rate issues, and some of those games like those two I mentioned are ports. Call of Duty, I don't know if that was a port or if that's been developed alongside with the other versions.
Well, it's definitely a port. There are a couple things that make you notice that, but I mean, the thing is, it's very close. I will say 98% of the time. The frame rate's fine. Like, it's not the best frame rate, but it's not choppy to the point of being, like abrupt or a problem in any way.
And it doesn't really impact like your ability to shoot things.
No, it doesn't. I mean, my ability's still quite low, but but no, it doesn't affect that as far as I can tell. Now, it's weird because you can turn on or off the gamepad, like having it show the video as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept trying this back and forth, and it seems to have basically no effect on the frame rate, which seems crazy to me. But it doesn't seem to affect it at all. And when you turn it off, all that, like, it just kind of shows you, like, mission information. You can they made a big deal of saying you can change the controls on the fly. What you can change is, like, the axis sensitivity, and, like, you can't change button mappings without going into the menu. So I don't really understand. But,
that was a lie, is what you're saying.
Kind of. I mean, if you're not playing the game on the gamepad, it doesn't use the gamepad very well. That said,
which is to be expected this early on.
Yeah,
I would guess. Yeah.
That said, I mean, the whole game is here. It's a lot closer to like the full Call of Duty experience, and like they don't seem to have left much out. I mean, it's solid, and I'm still gathering some thoughts on that. I might encounter issues, but I haven't yet. It seems. I mean, obviously there are fewer players online. They kind of make a big deal out of like, oh, well, there are like 700,000 people online on the other systems, and there are like 600 people online here, and that's true.
Yeah.
But that's still enough people to where you can generally have a pretty full game. Maybe you start having some trouble if you pick one of like the weirder game types. But, I mean, generally there's enough people to play, so, I mean, if you're playing with your friends who already have it, then you weren't going to get the Wii U version anyway. But if you just want to play with people, then there's enough.
And plus the I think, I don't know if you've tried this yet, but the cool feature I think with this version is the, you know, one person plays on the controller, one person plays on the screen. I think that's
pretty
cool for split screen.
That works. I haven't played it enough yet, but it works. It's functional. You can do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, so let's move on.
Cool. All right, Graham, I know you're excited to talk about this one. Oh. Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Is he really excited?
Well, I have not adjectives. Really excited.
I have adjectives for that.
Your review was mixed. I mean, generally, sort of, I would say, leaning towards positive, but certainly some flaws.
Well, yes. It's not a badly developed game. For what decisions they made, they execute them fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
I have measured language for this game because, I mean, you guys probably saw a few weeks ago, the original Paper Mario is my favorite game.
Yes.
Ever. Of all time, Paper Mario.
This is
not that game. The battle system is not the same at all.
Because of the sticker thing. Basically.
Because of the sticker thing, because they get...
Well, you don't level up.
Right, you don't level up. Every time you use a move, it uses up a sticker, which is the most nerve-wracking thing in the world. You generally don't run out. It's not the worst thing. Like, it doesn't put you in tight spots, but it's just like all of a sudden there's this anxiety to like, what if I need this jump sticker later? Maybe I should use a hammer right now when I really should be using a jump. Like, it's once you figured out, oh, this enemy is way better, you know, I should really use hammer stickers from this enemy, then like you should use it, right? But then, you know, like it's a weird inventory management thing that really shouldn't exist.
And I've heard that there are certain boss battles where you desperately need certain stickers, and if you don't have them, you might be screwed.
Yes. I mean, basically, you just go back and you buy the special stickers.
Yeah, but it seems like something that could have avoided.
Yes. There's a lot of it that they could have avoided. What really they should have done is use the sticker thing to have, like, a sheet where you kind of put in, like, basically like a loadout. Like, if you, like... you know, equipped, like, these are the stickers I can use in battle, and, like, have it be smaller, but, like, okay, I'm going in with this stuff. That would have been interesting.
That's what I thought they would have done.
But, yeah, so then they got rid of sidekicks, which, the sidekicks were basically what added story to those.
Yeah.
And then also, like, they made battles interesting, because, like, you could switch out and try different strategies with different things. No, it's just Mario. And it's just the one attack. Every attack does have like the timing button thing, but it's all hit the A button at the right time. Everything is simplified to that. It's a different time for different things, but you just hit the A button.
So,
would you say it's more of an adventure game than an RPG game? It seems like they removed a lot of RPG elements.
It is kind of like that. I mean, there are battles, but yeah, it's not. You're not really playing much of a role.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, it seems like the only reason to fight any battles is for coins, and the only reason for get coins is for stickers. And if you don't, you decide not fight battles aside from the required ones, then you don't really need the coins to get the stickers.
And there are a lot of battles where you use up more coins worth of stickers than you get coins.
Yeah. So it seems like one of those games where you might just find yourself avoiding most of the encounters after a certain period of time.
Yeah.
But
look, I don't want to totally badmouth this game.
Oh no, it seems like it has.
The localization's still great. The writing and humor is still great. The 3D looks really cool with like the sticker things. You know, those are nice. Yeah.
It's not the game it should have been.
And because of about like 3 dumb design decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's too bad. And, is there any chance of them making another one for the Wii U, like a more
maybe
traditional Paper Mario or Mario RPG game?
I gotta say it's gonna. Well, I think Alpha Dream is still gonna make another Mario and Luigi. We haven't really heard from them since Bowser's Inside Story.
I hope so.
Like they haven't really done anything else, so like they're probably gonna make another one of those. I'm getting the feeling that'll probably still be on the 3DS just because they're a small team. But so yeah, I mean. Intelligent Systems is having a lot of success with like the latest Fire Emblem in Japan. They do that. We could possibly see an Advance Wars at some point in my lifetime. That would be great. They have a lot of franchises, and that's kind of the problem. And then also it's one of those things where they want this to sell to people who don't necessarily play RPGs, and that's where we are in the current climate. And so they made a game that's not really an RPG,
despite having turn-based battles.
Yeah, I mean it's nominally an RPG.
Yeah,
it's more of an RPG than Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, I mean I have to ask, did you like Super Paper Mario? Because I like that game a lot, mostly because I didn't expect it to be an RPG, and I thought
Paper Mario RPG I found irritating.
Okay, so yeah, I mean Super Paper Mario was fine. It was a fine, interesting, you know, platformer type thing. It was charming, but I would much rather Intelligent Systems do anything else than Intelligent Systems does.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. Or like make an actual Paper Mario. I think that was my biggest thing. I wasn't expecting a Paper Mario, but I knew that this was going to take the place of them making an actual Paper Mario on the Wii. And it did. So.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah.
But now this kind of half RPG Paper Mario is probably taking the place of the 3DS one. So.
Yeah, it's closer. It's one of those things where like, this isn't Super Paper Mario. This isn't so far out from what it is. And it's fine. It's just, yeah. Anyway, I think I'm kind of done talking about it.
we need a true sequel to Thousand Year Door is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love that.
All right. So why don't we move on? Thanks, Graham. Why don't we talk about Little Inferno next?
Yes.
And then we'll finish off with some Hitman, Andrew. I know we'll get that in for you.
I'll let Chris handle this one because I feel like I've done way too much talking this episode.
All right. Sounds good. All right, let's move on to who's played Little Inferno?
Me. That is Little Inferno is a Wii U downloadable game by some of the guys that made World of Goo and some of the guys that made Harry Hatsworth. And there are shout outs to both games in the various catalogs. It is a very difficult game to describe.
Is there fire?
There is a lot of fire.
So it's not a small amount of fire.
No, it is not. In fact, a little inferno.
Okay. Well, I mean, it could depends on where you really scale inferno. Inferno is kind of a large category to begin with, so maybe a little inferno is still a lot of fire. I don't know.
Well, the little implies home version, because the premise of the game is the current hot thing. Not the
I get it. Hey. Okay, sorry about that.
The current, I have to use the word hotness, on the market is this Little Inferno playset. Basically, it's your little a home fireplace where you burn things. And there's a, because like the weather has gotten really cold, so keeping warm has become the pastime of choice.
Yeah,
and it's basically literally. Took me a little under 4 hours to complete the game. It's literally 4 hours of just staring at this fireplace thing, buying things, putting them in there, watching them burn, and getting money for doing it, and then repeating the process.
Yeah.
That is the entirety of the gameplay. You can find like neat little combos, like that'll get you extra stamps, that'll increase the delivery speed.
There are like 90 something combos. So.
Yeah, I found like 70.
Yeah, I found maybe 50. It's a lot of them.
But like as you play though, you'll get letters, and there are three different types of letters. One from the Tomorrow Corporation, the people who make the Little Inferno system, and they're just basically your usual corporate spam. Oh, thank you for being a loyal customer. New catalogs are available. You know, there's one from the Weatherman, which I think Andrew liked a lot.
I do like the Weatherman.
He's keeping you posted. It's still snowy and cloudy and whatever. But the ones that move the story along, such it is, are the ones from what is your neighbor, this crazy little girl next door. And as you play, like, you know, mindlessly burning things, whatever, staying warm, not even looking, there's nothing else to look at but this in the fireplace. And the letters come, and the story just gets weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder until it takes a dramatic turn once you've basically completed all the catalogs, and then it gets really, really weird.
That dramatic turn is an understatement.
Yeah, I
have a question, just real quick. Did you burn your free hug coupon?
I did, and I'm really tempted to replay that. I want to replay it again. You get gifts along the way, and I just burn them. The hell with it. That's part of the game. But I want to see if I'm play again keeping all of the gifts. Because you start off with a limited capacity of how many things you can have before you have to burn some. And you can expand that. It's not cheap to do it, but you can do it. So I want to see how many of those I can hang on to while still progressing.
Yeah, I feel like...
I get the feeling the delete key might have a use, too.
Yeah.
But I know definitely that I was really mad that I burned that coupon at the end of the game.
I wanted my free hug, and I didn't get it. So hint to everyone who plays Little Inferno, do not burn the free hug coupon.
And for the price, like I said, I literally ripped through it in one four-hour sitting. I could not pull myself away from this game. It was...
I had to take a little break because, you know...
It got a little dramatic there.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I would recommend it. It's not really a game, but it's...
No, no.
It is an interesting experiment. It's an interesting toy.
Is it the quote, game of the year?
It may very well be. For me, it is, because I didn't have Journey, so...
Yeah. And to top things off, I can talk about Hitman now.
Go ahead.
I will talk Hitman. Again, I'm not that far into it, because I just started. I've been busy with Wii U stuff this week. I think the complaints about this game...
Is that not on Wii U?
No, it is not on Wii U. It came out the same week as the Wii U, which... That's kind of silly. Well, silly for me, because I was like, I have all these Wii U games, and I'm going to go back to my old system and play this game.
So yeah. Because
I was like, this new technology, I want to keep playing with this thing. But yeah. So Hitman, it is still as kind of frustrating, but also satisfying as Hitman has ever been. Like, there are still lots and lots of ways to approach situations. And I think a lot of the complaints come from the fact that there are certain missions where they kind of lead you along, but they're still like, it's still in like an open area. But they kind of lead you along, like, this is where you need to go. Like, for example, I'm playing a mission that I'm in the middle of that where you have to escape from the police. And you basically have to get from the top of this building to outside on the streets. And they tell you where you need to get to, but they don't tell you, like, there are so many different pathways you can take and so many different approaches. But these missions are still a little more linear and a little less about, you know, these actual assassinations, which is what kind of is it, what makes Hitman Hitman. So I can understand the disappointment there, but those missions are still fun. And the actual mechanics are still great. Like, I have still been able to toss a guy out a window who just said he didn't have prostate cancer anyway. He was on the phone. He's on the phone with someone saying, oh, man, you're telling me it's not prostate cancer? And then you pull the guy out the window. There's still stuff like that. There's still plenty of silly conversations happening that you can listen to or just, you know, or just ignore, and it adds a lot of backdrop to this kind of the different areas you're exploring, and the mechanics themselves are still a lot of fun. Like, I think they added this whole instinct system, which lets you kind of like see enemy pathways and stuff, which you can just completely ignore if you don't want to use it. And there are different difficulties which give you less of that or none at all if you want to play on the purest difficulty. And so this stuff is easy to ignore. I can understand why some people might think they're dumbing it down, but this game is not easy still. I'm playing on hard, so it's not going to be easy, but it's even on. Hey, like I said, there's a purist difficulty where they don't give you any HUD elements except the targeting reticle. You don't even know how many bullets are in your gun.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, that is hardcore. So people who want that can just start right away on that difficulty and probably slam their head against the wall a few hundred times. But like, even on normal, I did try out normal a little bit too, and it's still pretty tough. I think hard just like kind of increases the AI's like a faster reaction to things, and there are definitely more enemies. But that, you know, it's still tough no matter which difficulty. I guess unless you play on easy, I'm sure that's a bit easier. But it's still the same Hitman experience that I love. And again, I'm not super far into it, but from what I could tell, there's a ton of different ways to approach situations still. And it's not going to win anybody over who wasn't a fan of the series already, I don't think. I think the new systems they're introducing is trying to do that, but I really don't think it'll succeed. But for people who love Hitman, I think you'll still find a lot to love about this game. So yeah, thumbs up from me so far.
So it's a hit.
It is a hit, man.
Oh. All right, if that doesn't end this, then nothing will.
I mean, now we could talk about the Wii U some more if we want.
Sure.
I would like to know, since I don't have a Wii U, and I think most of you guys
Hold on. I just want to echo something you guys said last week. I wasn't able to participate in your emergency podcast last week because of board game night, but there's one thing you guys mentioned that I want to make perfectly clear for anybody who might have missed it last time.
Okay.
Oh my God, Matt, finish controllers, please.
Yes.
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 Definitely.
I'm going crazy looking at this gamepad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially because, if you're playing Nintendo Land, it makes you hold the controller in different ways. So, like, now you also have, like, fingerprints all across the top and the bottom.
Right.
So, like,
Yep.
I think I'm finally at that point where I kind of don't care. There's still those moments of,
eventually it's going to get to that point too.
Yeah. There's just going to be so many of them. You just can't, be like, whatever. But yeah. It looks nice when you first get out of the box. This is so shiny. And then like 10 minutes later, you're like, I hate this thing. You know? I don't actually hate the Wii U gamepad. It is awesome. But
right. It is.
At that moment, I hated it for like a second.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I totally agree. Really, if we could just, it's one of the few times where, like, if third party could just put, like, a really thin matte faceplate on it, you just snap on it.
It's
not
really easy for it to grip on, though, because you have the shoulder buttons are kind of in the way.
It could, that would probably mess up the dock. I was thinking they're, like, little places at the bottom. It could.
Yeah, that's for some sort of shell, though, clearly, that's...
Yeah.
Clearly, this is a matter for science, not us.
Yes, okay.
Science!
Yes, indeed. I totally agree with that.
Alright, so go ahead, Henry. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm still... Like, again, we did the podcast about 2 days after the system launched. Now we've had a week, and I still love the thing. I think everything's moving a lot faster now than it was the first couple of days. Like,
that initial download... The servers are just
getting...
It wasn't the size of it. It was just the server load.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And just the menu. Everything was just loading so slow. But Miiverse is working now. I love Miiverse. It's fantastic.
Miiverse is the best thing.
Is it really?
I had an epiphany between last podcast and this podcast.
All right.
Miiverse is the new Nintendo Power.
Where
you learn about and share information about games in like a very like enthusiastic, positive environment.
Yeah, I mean,
that's cool.
Like, the fact that it's not like a like button like Facebook, it's a yeah button with an exclamation mark.
And then you can un-yeah.
You can un-yeah, but it's still un-yeah. You know, you do it enthusiastically.
Yeah, there's just something about like even like it's as dumb as it sounds. Being able to draw little pictures of things.
Yes.
Is that like especially with Miiverse integration?
Dumb. That's really that's cool.
When you can like when you can tag things. Like since I didn't have to review it, I put Mario on hold for a while, but I've gotten to play it some. And then those moments where it's like, you've got all the star coins, you know, you want to share something? And like you know, then I'm like
asks you, do you want to post it to Miiverse?
Yeah, I mean sometimes they'll ask you and you can say, yeah, I want to do something. So you know, then like there was this star coin I was having trouble finding, and I finally found it, so I could draw a little diagram of where it is, how to get it, and then tag it as a spoiler.
Being able to tag things as spoilers is very nice. Being able to attach a screenshot of where the game was paused when you went to Miiverse is a nice feature.
That is fantastic too. Yeah, and
not all games support it, sadly, but
But I think
So Nintendo has done well with the online community so far.
So far, I mean, they're not pushing it or anything.
Yes,
that's good because we were worried. We were worried. Nintendo hasn't had a great track record of online stuff.
Certainly, this is not what you're used to, and I think that's going to take some adjustment. And some people are just never going to make the effort.
But that's fine. There's always room for improvement with online stuff.
I'm one of those persons who's not going to make the effort.
It's
basically like giant comment threads everywhere, and
but it especially with it, like, it's like giant comment threads where you can just look at what your friends are doing and the game you're playing right now,
and that's mostly what I've been doing is
that's what I do too.
Since I managed to play Mario after Andrew's played through, every time I walk through, like, it pulls random people's comments, but if your friends say things, it pulls theirs. So I just walk, and like every time I pass by one of Andrew's notes, it's like, yep. That was really hard, and then I just avoid that level completely.
That's a good sign. This level took me 10 tries. Oh, nope. I guess I'll go to the other one. but I think what's driving me crazy is like, how is everyone so good at drawing on this thing?
They have some
I have no idea.
When you're looking at the Wada Wada Plaza.
Yes. So like what pops up is so great, but it's tied to Yez from what I can tell. Yeah. So anyone that does something impressive, like, you're going to see it.
Kind of like a Facebook top stories thing.
Yeah. But I mean, it's still like.
There's still, there are people sitting around. My favorite thing is when people just like use Netflix just so they can have an excuse to like draw the doctor or draw like Simpsons characters. It's like, well, this is related to Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, sure. This is a really impressive drawing here. And like someone I saw like straight up drew like the Black Ops logo.
Yeah.
Like just since that box art is just totally monochrome anyway, like it's really impressive looking. Yeah, people are super skilled at it.
Yeah.
I've seen a animated series Batman.
Yeah, profile. That's cool.
Arkham City. Arkham City.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's super dumb, but like the best super dumb.
Yeah.
How is using the gamepad overall for things like Netflix and stuff like that? So not just Miiverse, but the overall user interface. Not great yet.
Well, I mean, for example, Netflix, you can choose to have it like pulled down on the gamepad or push it back up. But I think a lot of what people were hoping was that you can kind of browse or look at information on things while you're watching. You can't really do that. And you can't have it on both screens at the same time. I know there are a lot of people who are like, well, I need to step away for a second. Let me just take the gamepad, you know, like while I go into the kitchen and get a drink or whatever. You can't.
I don't have that good range in my gamepad. I go to my kitchen and it complains about it.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how close things are. But generally, the second iteration of this stuff, I think when Nintendo TV pops up.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm waiting for too, to see what happens with that.
There will be a better interface for things like that. And like,
I don't have Halo Plus or Hulu Plus, but I understand.
Halo Plus.
I understand that Halo it has a better interface.
Okay, yeah, I don't have Hulu Plus either, but if I haven't seen that app, but if they have something good, that would be great. What I really want is like Netflix that lets you bring up a browser while you're in it, or you know, my thing when I watch stuff is like I'm gonna IMDb the hell out of this thing.
Yeah.
Like, who was that person in the background? Oh, they were in that show I watched 14 years ago. Like, this is my favorite thing about watching things. And I want to be able to do that.
Clearly, they just need to have a IMDb app where you, because they have a video service on IMDb. I mean, it's not as well, you know, there's definitely not as many shows as Netflix, but you can watch full episodes of certain shows, and that would be cool if they could have something like that where, hey, you can either like just use IMDb search function while watching this, or
and like a pop-up video,
or even like you can like, yeah, this is who this is. You can tap on it. You can pause it and tap on this character or something. You know?
As I understand it, that is a lot of the functionality that Nintendo TV has.
Which that's you know, when that was first announced, it sounded really impressive.
We'll see when we get it.
Speaking of TV, though, I've been using my gamepad as a remote here and there.
Yeah.
My cable box remote is kind of just dying anyway, so it's nice to have an option. Although, I'm finding I have to be pointing directly at the TV.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like to recognize.
I mean,
it's not as good as an actual remote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most remotes you're already by default pointing it at the TV, whereas the you know, the gamepad has the infrared at the top, so you need to kind of point it. I like that functionality. I use it a lot.
I use it a lot. I would like it more if it had a mute function, because I like my sound goes through something else and not usually my TV.
Yeah. So. Speaking of that, the Wii U doesn't like sound systems.
Yeah, I know that.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week. One, you can't. I mean, it'd be nice if you can turn on your sound system with the remote. That's really a thing you'd want. And then also, it doesn't output in surround through all connections.
I'm using my component cables, and it will not let me put it on surround sound like the Wii would.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's a patch of some sort.
By the time that happens, I'll have my HD TV. So.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I have mine connected with an HDMI cable to my TV and optical out to my sound system, and that doesn't work either.
Wow.
So right now it's just not playing well with surround. So I've just started, you know, using my TV volume, not using the sound system, because I can just use the functionality that's there, but it is kind of frustrating. You do get sort of surround if you turn the volume on the gamepad.
Right, because you get the close speakers and
There are some like menu music things and stuff like that where they do mix it slightly differently.
Yeah,
which I think is really cool. But you know,
so a few nitpicks aside, it sounds like you guys overall are very happy with the launch and the system itself.
I like the system. The software needs a few patches, but that's much better than the alternative.
That'll come.
Yeah,
I mean, this seems like a system I'm excited about. I'm not going to buy yet. But, you know, one or two more, you know, killer titles, and maybe they do a few patches here and there, and it's going to be pretty hard to resist getting one.
To bring things full circle, I will say one of those killer games will be Rayman Legends.
Yes.
This goes back to Rayman.
They announced that the demo was going to be available at the eShop at launch. It is not. I have a conspiracy theory that they didn't do it because the Rayman Legends demo would be the Wii U game of the year.
Probably, yeah.
I've played the kiosk demo a few times. Those two levels are pretty great. So
they seem awesome. I can't.
If there were a demo that let me play those five player, then yeah, that would be that would make my list.
I am really grateful that Nintendo is allowing indie devs to kind of choose their, you know, release dates, the price for releasing stuff, and you know, I think that is a better system than Sony and Microsoft have ever had.
Great. And I think they should get credit for having a well curated eShop launch lineup.
Yeah, that's a pretty great variety of games, and they're all probably worth playing.
Right. So the launch lineup was Mighty Switch Force Hyperdrive Edition. Little Inferno, Trine 2 Director's Cut, Chasing Aurora, and I think there was one more. Nano Assault Neo, yes. All of those range from well-intentioned and gorgeous to very good.
Yeah.
And a lot of those, like, are developers that have really been doing good things for Nintendo before, so it's simultaneously a good way to reward those developers that have kind of stuck with them. And show off how good the system is, as opposed to DSiWare, say, for example.
Yeah.
When they did that, you know,
drives me up the wall.
Yeah, I mean, like, and really a lot of eShop stuff, like just starting out with things that weren't that great. I like that they have quality here, at least for a little while. And,
yeah, they really made an effort, I think, to have a very solid launch lineup.
Yeah.
That it clearly shows.
Yeah, I mean, again, some people will be bored by this launch lineup because most of it is stuff they may have already played before.
Or they could be in my situation where I'm just finally joining an HD generation console so I can experience things like Assassin's Creed 3 and, if I wanted to, Batman Arkham City.
Yeah, I mean, I have to ask, what are your next Wii U purchases? Because you seem impressed by the lineup. So what are the things you have your eye on for the rest of the year? If any?
Of the stuff that's out right now, probably nothing. I'm still waiting for Lego City, and I'm waiting for Wonderful 101.
Yes, I am looking forward to those too.
Lego so should have been, I'm happy sitting on the fence with Assassin's Creed, Nintendo Land, and Trine, which I downloaded.
And
again,
I,
off the recommendation of Nintendo Power, I want to reiterate every time I can until my final issue comes next month. Probably this week, actually, or soon.
Yeah, but I hear there's a pinball game that they're making.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is a win. That was my first, those my first
Hold
four purchases. My first four purchases on my 3DS were all pinball games.
Yep. Yep. So,
yeah. I mean, I do wish, I like, it seems like with any new system, we don't really know much of anything that's coming out for the rest of the year. That's,
well, I mean, rest of the year, not much.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot using the functionality that they want to right now other than Nintendo Land and maybe New Super Mario Bros., I wouldn't know. But for what I have, it's basically just Nintendo Land doing anything other than treating the gamepad as a portable television screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I would love to see on the Wii U, and this sort of goes back to maybe RPGs coming back to North America, is to me, the Wii U lends itself very well to an RPG-style game. I mean, all the inventory
management, item management.
Yeah, totally. Okay,
anything that needs interface.
To tie into a little bit what I'm doing with our upcoming anniversary special, all kinds of board games and pen and paper RPGs where you have the hidden information and then everybody else looking at one thing and one person looking at the other thing.
Penny,
what the system's designed to do and use that.
Yeah,
Penny Arcade made a pretty funny comic about it.
Right.
It's just like Nintendo, huh?
Do this.
You're welcome.
It's obvious.
Do it.
Yeah. Let me know, just for you, there's an eShop game coming. I think it's coming out in other things, but I'm definitely probably going to get it for the Wii U. There's an indie RPG coming out next year called Tomb Brothers, which I just heard about a little while ago. It is like a 16-bit or maybe 8-bit style RPG. It seems very reminiscent of possibly something like Secret of Mana. It's not turn-based again, but it's an RPG. So I think that is worth mentioning. I think
I will say my next
when
my
you
next
say it's like Secret of Mana. If it does not have local co-op, it is not.
I don't.
Like it.
I can't speak to that. Exactly. I'm gonna say no.
Yeah. So wrong.
That is one of the things.
Wrong.
In terms of the battle system.
Say it's like Secret of Evermore.
Okay, Secret of Evermore.
Wait a minute. That gunk in your mouth when you say it.
I love Secret of Evermore.
Fine.
I love it more than Secret of Mana.
I need to beat that game one day.
I need to beat the first level of that game one day.
But no, seriously, keep an eye out for that game. It looks really cool.
I will say the next Wii U shop title that I'm looking at, I guess, is The Cave should be coming out soon.
Ah, yeah.
That looks great, too.
Yeah.
Tokitori
2
about
coming out.
Oh, yeah, Tokitori.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one was okay.
Yeah. Which first one?
The one on the Wii. That's the only one I played.
Yeah, the original Tokitori was a Game Boy Color game.
Yeah, I've never.
Where did you remember that?
So this is a sequel to this is probably still a sequel to the one that was on the Wii though.
Yeah, well as I understand it, was a remake of the original game.
Okay, so either way.
Yes.
Yes, it looks cool.
But once again, saying hey, look at these people who have been with us. I don't know. Interesting. Interesting to see.
Yeah.
Cool. Has anybody tried the video chat? Is that online for this?
I haven't yet. You guys need to call me. I'm right here.
I was gonna do it Wednesday, but I forgot.
Okay.
Okay. How about this? If I boot up my Wii U and next time I boot up my Wii U and I see you online, I will just I'll make a call.
Okay.
Make the call.
The call. Am I getting the call?
It'll be the most important call you'll ever take.
Did you figure out how to move the icons off the first page?
Oh yeah, it was really stupid of me because I was trying to just drag, but you have to
wait and I figured that out too.
I felt really stupid, but
you'd know that if you
had a 3DS.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a 3DS, but I moved them the one time and then forgot. I moved everything into a folder. I didn't have to look at it again.
Yeah. So I pretty much moved everything but the games and the basic stuff to the very last page on my Wii U menu. So
I just put it on the second page and I'll move them further when I need to. I need the second page.
I did it now to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
So I never have to look at them again.
Ah.
Health and safety information. You're no use to me. Worst Wii U launch time.
Aren't you put parental controls next?
That is the game of the year.
Yes.
Safety information. Activity log, quote unquote.
Activity log. Just use that. I used that on the Wii. I'm going to use that for the Wii U. Yeah. It's neat.
All right.
So, before we go.
Okay.
I just want to mention that I didn't mention this in the game section. I feel stupid for forgetting about it, but I finished The Walking Dead. I finished the final episode.
Oh, don't spoil anything for me.
Saying
there are zombies.
I know you're not. I just have to. Oh my god!
They're
I have
dead missed. And they walk.
Yes. Yes. This is
this
true.
Game is. I'm so happy I waited until all five episodes are out though, because I could not, in retrospect, wait. It must be like watching some TV show where they have to wait every week and to be agonizing, except it's months.
I mean, I understand that, Henry. But from what I've played, I've only played the first two episodes. I played the first and then decided I would play the second, and I should have waited about a month.
I was gonna say you should put some space between the episodes because this
is intense.
It does hit you hard. That's true.
I'm
that's
just gonna right. say
because I'm near the end. I'm like, oh, I gotta keep going. Like I'm looking to get out of dinner tonight just so I can finish
it. I will say one thing. It doesn't really get that much better. But the game gets great. It continues to be great. But in terms
not
of the situation,
good.
Characters. It doesn't get that much better.
But, oh, I can't foresee an extremely happy ending. I mean, that's not Walking Dead.
Yeah. But I'm just gonna put this out there. If there's two games this year that I will say that everyone needs to play. Everyone needs to play. Journey is one of them. The Walking Dead is the other. These are must plays. I don't care who you are. I'm telling you, Chris, buy a PS3 for Journey. Get The Walking Dead. You have to play these games, but The Walking Dead especially. We're going to be talking about this during the Game of the Year podcast. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Just had to put that out there.
The best part is that it's barely a game. I mean, really, it's more of an interactive graphic novel. But it doesn't matter because it's all about, you know, the design and the story and the characters and the voice acting. Oh. I was almost, before I played this game, I'm like, you know what? Maybe games are worse off with voice acting because a bad voice actor can just ruin the experience and it costs a lot to hire them. But this game, I mean, the voice acting makes the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the girl playing Clementine is probably one of my favorite characters ever. And I'm so protective of her in the game, which is ridiculous. She's made up. She's an 11-year-old girl. But, but they made her like a kid. They didn't make her some stupid hacker genius. And they didn't make her annoying. She's just like a real kid. And it's amazing how much you can feel for someone like that.
Yeah. We'll be talking about this more later.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no spoilers. Yeah,
it's excellent though.
All right, right, but for now we can wrap things up. We should programming note. Next week starts our anniversary celebration. We have been online for 10 years as of next week.
Yeah,
and we have a lot planned
with one original staff member.
Yes, one out of four. But, yeah, so we have a lot planned there. Our next episode of the podcast is going to be a big anniversary celebration. We have some interesting special guests. And yeah, so, you know, we have a lot there. Stick around. And when that's through, we will be back with our Game of the Year discussion. And, yeah, so stay tuned, you guys.
It's going to be an awesome month.
Yeah. For Sean, Andrew, Henry, and Chris. I'm Graham. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.